This episode of the Lancaster Farming Industrial Hemp Podcast is brought to you in part by the National Hemp Association. The National Hemp Association is a nonprofit organization committed to the growth and development of all aspects of the hemp industry. Learn how the National Hemp Association can help your hemp operation. Become a member today at nationalhempassociation.org. National Hemp Association. Pushing progress.
Local supply chains are kind of the lifeline, really, for local self-reliance, that we need to connect the farms with the production in the cities and the market in the cities for our basic needs.
That's Judy Wicks, founder of Proud Pennsylvania, a nonprofit group that's working to unite rural and urban communities to build regional economies that work for everybody. This is the Lancaster Farming Industrial Hemp Podcast. I am your host, Eric Herlock, and on today's show, we talk to Judy about supply chains and why strong local supply chains are increasingly important, especially when it comes to industrial hemp. We'll get to my interview with Judy in just a little bit, but first, let's check in on a few hemp-related things. All right, yesterday I got an email from a hemp farmer up in Muncie, Pennsylvania, and he's curious about commercial dryers. He's looking for commercial drying space. So if anyone out there has a lead on commercial drying space for hemp, I guess preferably somebody in the Susquehanna Valley, drop me a line and hopefully I can put you all in touch and help everybody get connected. I'm curious, though, how the rest of you CBD growers are planning on drying your plants come harvest. This could be a business opportunity for somebody, especially somebody with existing barns or warehouse space. Just something to think about. Next up, I stumbled upon a new book about hemp. It's called American Hemp. It's written by Jen Hobbs. The subtitle is How Growing Our Newest Cash Crop Can Improve Our Health, Clean Our Environment, and Slow Climate Change. I'm about five chapters in so far, and it's well written, well researched, and it's fun to read. And on page 54, there's a quote from a Lancaster Farming article. Yeah. I've got an interview booked with the author, so look for that podcast episode around the 4th of July, a fitting time to talk about American hemp with author Jen Hobbs. All right, and lastly, do you remember Floyd's of Leadville? Floyd's of Lancaster? Floyd Landis's hemp operation here in Pennsylvania? Well, I thought we would check in with Jake Sittler, who's in charge of the Lancaster operations, and see how things are going.
We're slowly getting there. It's we've got a bunch of people are in the ground now, transplanting. We're kind of all over. We're still dialing in the last few bit of farmers here, but mostly everyone's up and away farming now.
As far as planting goes, are they seeding directly or are they planting seedlings?
All different situations. We kind of depended on what they had access to, what was in the area. So We've done a bunch of different stuff now, and no situation is unique. So we're just going to kind of see works really well in each place.
Are all of your farmers growing in Lancaster County?
No, there's some in York County, mostly in Lancaster County, and the rest are kind of a little north, but mostly in central Pennsylvania.
And what's the average acreage for your farmers?
We're not going over 4 acres.
And how about plans for drying at harvest time?
Yeah, we're going to help some of that solution, but a lot of it we're kind of working out in different ways. A lot we're going to see air dry, how things go. We're going to test on small scales with tobacco barns and stuff, but mostly we should have a larger solution in the upcoming future.
All right, Jake, thanks for the update.
Of course. I look forward to it. We'll talk soon.
All right, Jake Sittler from Floyd's of Lancaster. All right, we'll take a quick sponsor break, and then we'll talk to Proud Pennsylvania's Judy Wicks. Stick around. This This episode of the Lancaster Farming Industrial Hemp Podcast is brought to you in part by NAU, Country Insurance Company, your crop insurance specialists, now offering industrial hemp crop hail protection. Contact your crop insurance agent to learn more or call 888-628-6724 or go to naucountry.com. NAU Country Insurance Company, your crop insurance specialists, now offering hail protection for your hemp. Judy Wicks, welcome to the Lancaster Farming Industrial Hemp Podcast. Could you introduce yourself for us?
Sure. My name is Judy Wicks. I live in Philadelphia. Not quite lifelong. I've been in Philly since 1970. I'm a lifelong Pennsylvanian. I guess I'm best known for having run the White Dog Cafe for 26 years. I founded it in 1983, and we were a pioneer in the what's now called the farm-to-table movement. And I've been doing local economy work for about 20 years. Founded a nonprofit called Fair Food that connected rural farmers with the urban marketplace. I founded the Sustainable Business Network of Greater Philadelphia in 2001 and co-founded BALI, the Business Alliance for Local Living Economies, which is a national organization in the United States and Canada, actually. And then more recently, 4 years ago, I founded the Circle of Aunts and Uncles, which provides low-interest loans and mentoring to local entrepreneurs that are helping to build our local economy, mostly food enterprises, food and clothing, for the most part. And then a year ago, founded Proud Pennsylvania, which we'll talk about today, right?
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you're a serial entrepreneur and activist.
Yep. Now that I'm retired from business, I am a full-time activist.
Okay. Let's talk about Proud Pennsylvania. What is that?
Well, we're an initiative, a nonprofit initiative to unite rural and urban communities around a shared vision for regional economies that move wealth and power from distant corporations to our communities by producing our basic needs locally. So we support the local production of, food, clothing, building materials, energy, do educational programs in four areas. We have four coalitions within Proud Pennsylvania: industrial hemp, medical and adult use cannabis, renewable energy, and zero waste recycling.
Why are local supply chains important?
Local supply chains connect the rural and the urban areas. And there once was a time when rural and urban communities co-created regional economies based on trust and mutual respect that produced the basic needs for the region. And then that was destroyed by corporate globalization, which severed those local supply chains and separated rural and urban communities. And I find it very heartbreaking now that there's such distrust and misunderstanding between urban and rural people that some are taking advantage of politically. I think it's disheartening that this has happened, but it's also dangerous, I feel, because I think that our long-term survival and security depend on producing basic needs locally, that we cannot, for a number of reasons, depend on long-distance corporate supply chains. One reason is that they're sucking all the capital out of our communities and causing, unemployment and poverty. For the old, city manufacturing districts to the family farm regions, those are the areas that globalization have left in despair. And that's where the opioid epidemic is taking place, mostly from in the cities around the blue collar community that used to have the inner city manufacturing jobs, and then the rural areas that have sort of been stranded, with these large corporations monopolizing our agriculture really leaving food deserts. And Pennsylvania is not as bad as some states, that's for sure. I mean, I think that our our local food system is growing. And it's very exciting, and I feel a part of that. And that's one of the reasons that we don't have a coalition in local food to start with, at least in Proud Pennsylvania, because I feel like the local food movement is very healthy in the state and growing. Where hemp and marijuana are just starting. They're just being legalized. And so it's more important, I feel, to focus on these new industries as opposed to food. Although, you know, we still need more, you know, building of our self-reliance in food. Local supply chains are kind of the lifeline, really, for local self-reliance, that we need to connect the farms with the production in the cities and the market in the cities for our basic needs, and which would be food and building materials and clothing and energy. Mm-hmm. So we need to work with farmers. We need to connect farmers with entrepreneurs and the market in the urban marketplace.
Right, and we need to build these sooner because we're gonna probably need them in the. You know, we're going to need these strong ties already developed at a certain point if things go the way the climate scientists are saying they are.
Right, exactly. I mean, I feel like we're building the foundation for survival for the coming generations because it takes many years to build local self-reliance, to build the capacity of the farms to feed, clothe, and house, you know, the population of a major metropolitan area like we have in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. So we need to be doing that now. And as I mentioned, I think food is well underway, but still, you know, needs a lot of work. We need to build our capacity for renewable energy, which is also underway. But the new exciting field is, I believe, is hemp, because hemp is kind of a miracle plant, you know, in that it is not only a food and a fiber, for making clothes, but it's also a building material with hempcrete, it's a medicine, the CBD oils and so on. So it's amazing that it's been illegal. You know,
right?
The states, it differs from state to state, but it's been illegal for as much as 80 years, and yet it's hemp was what our forefathers used to make the sails for ships and make the clothing and make the ropes and so many things were made from hemp, and then it was it was so stupid to make it illegal, and so now the United States is so far behind other countries, you know, like Canada and China. China is apparently the largest producer of hemp in the world.
Right.
Yeah, we have a long way to go to get caught up.
They never stopped. When the rest of the world stopped producing hemp, China kept going.
Yeah, and so you know we don't have proper seeds and know-how, but yet it's so important that we progress in this area to produce hemp.
All right. So what needs to happen to build these supply chains? I mean, the industry here is sort of in its infancy, and we kind of have a blank slate. So What can we do?
Well, what we're doing at Proud Pennsylvania is to build these coalitions. So in the Hemp Coalition, for instance, we have a researcher from Thomas Jefferson University who's leading the student experiments in hemp to find viable commercial use for hemp. We have the head of the Pennsylvania Farmers Union, Heidi Secord. PASA is also going to be sending a representative to our coalition, the Pennsylvania Association for Sustainable Agriculture. Then we have hemp entrepreneurs that are making hempcrete. We got CBD oil producers. So we're gathering the entrepreneurs that are starting businesses using hemp and then connecting them with the local farmers. Because right now, for instance, there are CBD oil people who are buying their hemp from Oregon because the Pennsylvania farmers are just getting started. Oregon is ahead of us, and so anyway, it's a matter of promoting, you know, these connections between the entrepreneurs and our local farmers to get these supply chains reestablished.
And, you know, we still need a lot of processors here in the state. What kind of thought goes into, like, the proximity from the, you know, the processor to the farmers? Are you, you're looking at that?
Yeah, the researcher, Ron Kander, his name is, from Thomas Jefferson, that at our first meeting was explaining to us how important it is to have the processing facilities as close to the farmers, because it's hemp at that stage is very very light, but it takes up a lot of space, but it's very light, so hauling it long distance doesn't make much sense. It needs to be processed as close to as possible, so there's not all these hauling expenses for these big quantities of hemp. Mm-hmm. And so there are that's a key part of it all, obviously, the processors. And so we're looking for processors to bring into our coalition. And there's plans for a couple people in our coalition are actually starting a processing facility. I believe it's in Chester County. It's not open yet. Mm-hmm. They're just getting started on it and raising the capital and so on. And their intention is to, you know, is to connect with the farmers around there to process the hemp. You know, I'm still, like many people, familiarizing myself with the process. I don't really, I'm no expert in hemp. You know, right. My background has been in local food.
Sure.
So I'm trying to educate myself, in hemp and in medicinal cannabis. But yes, we're looking at the processors as well, for sure. That's all part of the supply chain.
Right.
And what I don't understand yet and need to become knowledgeable of is the additional process that's needed to turn the hemp into textiles, you know, to make clothing from.
Right.
And I know that there are clothing manufacturers in Philadelphia that are very, very eager to get their hands on local hemp. You know, in our circle of aunts and uncles group that funds local entrepreneurs, we have three different textile companies that want to use the hemp. So, but it's my understanding that piece of equipment that is needed to turn the hemp into textiles is extremely expensive.
Right.
So, you know, our group is studying this. We need to figure out, you know, what does it take and see what can be done, whether the state might help to finance a manufacturing processing plant for that. It's hard because we're competing against China, you know, which has such cheap labor and knowledge. But we've got to figure this out. Pennsylvania has to figure this out. And of course, Pennsylvania used to be a center for growing hemp.
Yep.
And we have a long way to catch up. We're babes in the woods, compared to China and even Canada.
Right. So I would see, like, in the state, you would have these sort of regional hubs of hemp production, you know, in the center of which would be one of these processing centers.
Exactly.
And so you could have a series of these sort of pulling together the larger tapestry of the hemp industry in the state.
Right.
Yeah. You know, there is the group out in York County, Groff North America. You know, they announced plans to build a processing plant there, and that would be for textiles and, you know, paper manufacturing. And so that's exciting.
Yeah. And Steve Groff is interested in joining our coalition. He hasn't been able to come to a meeting yet, but we're hoping for him to come because we want to learn from him and see what's needed and how we can help.
Right. So, Steve, if you're listening, come to the next meeting. So do you think Pennsylvania could become a model that other states could emulate?
Well, that would be terrific. I hope so. You know, I think that our, you know, what we're trying to do at Proud Pennsylvania is replicable. And there's more to it than what I've said so far. We also have a Proud Pennsylvania legislative working group in Harrisburg made up of state senators and representatives who are aligned with us around the importance of regional economies.
Okay.
And, you know, really curbing corporate power. You know, Pennsylvania has been under the thumb really, of fossil fuel industry. I mean, oil was discovered here, and coal, of course, and now frack gas, and they really control a lot of what goes on in Harrisburg. Mm-hmm. And so we really need to educate our citizens, you know, about the future and what we need. We need renewable energy, you know, and organic food, and, you know, hemp, and so on. And so it's a battle to support the small farmers and small entrepreneurs, because even, you know, right now with hemp and cannabis, with cannabis in particular, the large corporations from out of state have come into Pennsylvania and have owned, you know, most of the dispensaries. And so now they're working on legislation to legalize recreational. And we want to make sure that all these contracts for the new dispensaries are not going to go to the same large out-of-state corporations. I actually testified in Harrisburg that from the perspective of small business and how important it is to have the legislation that supports local ownership. So that's a part of what we do also, that we advise the legislators, you know, about the importance of local. And I think that, you know, the other thing that we're doing is we're trying to model new business values. I mean, that's the other thing that really has to change in terms of, you know, having a viable future for the future generations. It's not just about having our basic needs available to us, but it's also about values of cooperation and sharing and compassion, respect, you know, to build the world we want to live in, you know. Right. And so, you know, as a group of relatively new entrepreneurs in these new industries of hemp and medical marijuana and renewable energy for that matter, and the zero waste, that's another coalition that we have. We want to model these values in our businesses and the way that we treat each other, that this isn't about money, because so much, you know, you see it's like a gold rush now, and with the marijuana businesses coming into the state, like trying to scoop up everything, trying to, you know, make as much money as possible. So we want to show the opposite of that we want fairness in these new economies. And we want to see these new economies benefit, you know, our people who really are suffering to a large extent in the inner city and in the rural communities. Mm-hmm. That they need more money in both situations to build their communities. And so these opportunities should go to them. But we really need to change the values, because we in our society, and especially in the business world, we measure success by how much money we have, right, and how much stuff we have. And so we need to change our measure of success away from that to measuring our success by the health and well-being of our environment and our communities. And that our businesses, as well as you know, our economic decisions as consumers and investors, need to be geared towards that model. Because right now, economic decisions are made about maximizing profit. Right. And that ends up with a disaster, and it's killing the planet. It's causing great inequality. So we have to change our measure of success, and I feel like that's an important part of what we're doing.
How can farmers get involved, or even why should farmers get involved?
Well, there's tremendous opportunity. I think, you know, marijuana is a hugely profitable a crop, and recreational will soon be legalized. The medical marijuana bill that did pass really favored large corporations. Mm-hmm. But I know that the legislators don't want that to happen with the recreational bill. They really want to help small farmers. So I think it would be just a great a cash crop for farmers and hemp as well, both. But again, the farmers, like the entrepreneurs, are not knowledgeable yet. You know, we need to educate farmers about how to grow hemp and how to grow marijuana, and where to get quality seeds, and then connect them to the market.
Right.
And what I'm hoping, with the marijuana is that farmers will have the opportunity for vertical businesses, so they can grow and process and sell the cannabis right on their farms. And it could be like wine country in California, where the tourists come out and go around to the wineries, and every winery has a different style to it and flavor to their product. And the same thing could happen with marijuana in Pennsylvania.
Right.
And it could be a side business for a farmer or their whole business. But I feel it's really important that these opportunities go to our farmers.
Right.
It'd be a huge plus for them.
Yeah. I know I have a lot of Pennsylvania farmers listening now, and they're growing industrial hemp. I don't think we have too many marijuana growers. But is there an easy way for farmers to get involved in Proud Pennsylvania?
Yeah, I mean, they can join our coalition as a way to reach the entrepreneurs that are buying hemp.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we're just building our website now. By July 1st, people will be able to actually go online and sign up to be in a coalition.
Okay.
But if there's any farmers out there listening that would like to join now, they could always just email me. I'm Judy at judywicks.com.
Okay.
Judy at judywicks.com, and just express an interest, and we can send them an application to join the hemp coalition.
Okay.
Or the medical and adult use cannabis coalition. Like I said, we're just getting started, so we don't actually have a program for farmers at this point, but we would like to develop that.
Okay. And this is a nonpartisan kind of group, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, very much so. Nonpartisan.
Okay. Yeah.
And we hope to build a nonpartisan alliance in Harrisburg around these, because I feel that the concept of local self-reliance is a nonpartisan concept. In fact, I feel that's the meeting ground
right.
of the left and the right.
Yep.
That the right has a particular interest in self-reliance and the left a particular interest in community. And so it's kind of community self-reliance. And that's what it really takes for survival, for the future, is that we work together, the urban and the rural communities, to build local self-reliance, for future generations. And so I don't think there's any kind of partisanship involved in that. I mean, I think it's, if you want to say that there's an enemy here, it's corporate power.
Hmm.
And I think that small farmers and the old time Republicans, are anti-corporate too. It's more, the more contemporary aspects of the party that are so pro-corporation. But I grew up in Pennsylvania. My father was a Republican. I came from a totally Republican small town. And the old style Republican is totally aligned with the concept of local self-reliance and small business.
Right.
Say many, if not most, small businesses tend to be Republicans. So we're definitely nonpartisan here. And I think that's what it takes to do this work, to really transition our economy from one that's controlled by corporate globalization. Like these multinational corporations really control much of our food, our clothing, our energy, and so on. And we need to take back that power. And it takes all of us in a nonpartisan effort to take the power from corporations and pull it back into our own communities by producing our basic needs locally and not needing those long distance supply chains any longer.
Right. I'm with you on that. So do you get pushback from these corporate controlling interests? I can't imagine... they're too happy with this.
Well, they don't. We're under the radar screen at this point. I don't think they. I mean, like we're like an ant.
Right.
But I think that it's a growing movement. I think that there's the opportunity there. I mean, like, I feel like that the urban and the rural communities have been taken advantage of by politicians who are purposely trying to separate us.
Right.
Because the fact of the matter is, if we got together, if we combined our power, that we're stronger than large corporations. That we can, if we work together, produce our own food and clothing and medicine. I mean, I would love to see how, and it's happening already, that medical marijuana is weaning people off opioids.
Right.
Yep. And, you know, and this is a safe, marijuana is a safe, it's not addictive like opioids. And so it's already happening that we're taking business away from the pharmaceutical companies, you know, through medical marijuana. And I know it's scary for some people because we've been taught to fear marijuana. You know, it's the devil or whatever. And the same with hemp, you know, and it's just all ridiculous that these plants are, you know, provide a people with so much. I mean, marijuana has been used medicinally, you know, for thousands of years.
Right.
And hemp as well, the CBD oil. I mean, it's not anything new, but we've been separated by that. And a lot of people, you know, think that the reason that hemp and marijuana have been illegal is because of corporate power. You know, that we can grow marijuana in our closets at home, or in our backyard or whatever. So, you know, the alcohol companies want to keep it illegal. The tobacco companies, the pharmaceutical companies, you know, because hemp and marijuana are give power to the people. You know?
It cuts into their short-term profits.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's I hope that that any farmers that are listening will not be afraid to investigate growing marijuana. I think it's a wonderful opportunity, and it looks as though both New York and Pennsylvania are going to be legalizing recreational marijuana before long. Mm-hmm. You know, within the next year, and if that happens, if New York and Pennsylvania legalize, it's just going to go across the whole country. I mean, because it's already in so many legalized in so many states.
Right.
So, you know, the longer Pennsylvania waits to legalize, the further behind we'll be.
Sure.
From, you know, Colorado and California and Oregon and Massachusetts and Vermont and all the states that have legalized. So we've got to get going on this, and we've got to train our farmers how to grow it and develop these local supply chains. And I feel that communities that have been devastated by the war on drugs, i.e., you know, African American communities, should get a leg up in being the, you know, the city entrepreneurs, you know, to own these dispensaries in the cities. And right now, anyone that has any drug offense on their record is prohibited from even having a job, you know, not only in marijuana, but in hemp.
Sure.
So it's that those records have to be expunged. And
yeah, it seems really shameful to me that, you know, there's a whole lot of white people making a lot of money from this plant when, you know, for the past 50 years, they've just been putting a whole lot of people of color in jail for the same plant.
Exactly. And it's, you know, it's documented. There's, you know, legitimate quotes and so on that the Nixon administration used it as a political weapon.
Right.
That Nixon's enemies were white hippie anti-war protesters and blacks.
Mm-hmm.
And so he used the drug wars to punish both those groups.
Quite effectively too. Yeah, it's shameful. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Then there's black people and white people for that matter in jail for marijuana right now. Yet it's mostly legalized. I mean, mm-hmm. It just doesn't make any sense.
Right. Yeah. Well. Thanks to the work that you and your people are doing, we're changing the world.
That's right.
So I appreciate what you're doing, and I do appreciate your time today, Judy.
Thank you, Eric.
That's Judy Wicks from Proud Pennsylvania. You can learn more at proudpennsylvania.org. All right, that does it for me. My name is Eric Herlock. I'm the digital editor at Lancaster Farming, the best agricultural newspaper, not only in the state of Pennsylvania, but possibly the entire world. Don't believe me? Check it out at lancasterfarming.com. Also become a subscriber at lancasterfarming.com/podcast deal. Tell them Eric sent you. You can always reach me by email, podcast@lancasterfarming.com. And like I said in the beginning of the show, I'm curious about commercial dryers. So if you are one or know one or would like to be one, drop me a line. All right, until next time, I'll see you in the newspaper. This episode of the Lancaster Farming Industrial Hemp Podcast is copyright 2019, Lancaster Farming, a member of the Steinman Communication family. Today's show was written, recorded, produced, and edited by yours truly, Eric Herlock. Any music you hear is courtesy of Tin Bird Shadow.
Industrial hemp.